Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Ali Moreno. Only one place really to start today, and that's in the Premier League at the King Power Stadium. What a match we saw unfold between Leicester City and Spurs. Spurs were good, they just couldn't get the ball in the back of the net. Initially, they find themselves 1-0 down. Dakar on the counter-attack, making it 1-0. Harry Kane, who had a lot of chances, would eventually find his goal just before the break to make it 1-1. But then with 14 minutes to go in the match, James Maddison would make it 2-1. It looked like that would be enough to give Brendan Rodgers' side all 3 points. But then, in the 95th minute, Bergwijn would make it 2-2. And then, Leicester lose position from the kickoff. Harry Kane plays it through to Bergwijn. And Bergwijn scores his second, Spurs third, the winner to give them a victory and put them now within touching distance of that top four place. Just one adrift of West Ham, and they have 3 games in hand. With more on this, let's welcome in, shall we, Frank LaBeouf, Stevie Nicol and Don Hutchinson. Don, that was bonkers.
Absolutely. I'm absolutely shattered. I had an eye doing the game and then doing the Man U game straight afterwards. Tottenham were fantastic. They went 2-1 behind and against the run of the play, and then Bergwijn comes on and Harry Kane dropped as a sort of into the number 10 position. He used his sort of craft, used the speed of Bergwijn. He got a couple of goals. They win it 3-2. They go closer to West Ham. But sometimes, Dan, you can win a game late on and you can score in the last couple of seconds of a game. And for whatever reason, you can't measure it, but it gives you so much momentum. The dressing room, I would imagine, would have been buzzing afterwards. The music would have been on. They would have looked at the league table. They've got games in hand. And all of a sudden, we might have a new favourite to nick that fourth spot.
Are you in the Leicester dressing room, Don?
No. This is just, I mean, I'm at the Premier League and this is sort of a nice little backdrop I found.
I love he said I'm in my bedroom. It's a wallpaper. Stevie and Frank with us. Frank, it's why we love this sport.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's why we love that sport and especially the Premier League, because until the last breath, the last whistle of the referee, you don't know what's going to happen. And that's the best example of the football that we love, that some people believing more than the others that they can change something, and it's what happened. Well, I just want maybe my colleagues can answer for me on what I'm wondering, what Schmeichel was doing on the third goal, because I think he should have gone out, you know, and maybe block the chance that Bergwijn had on the last chance. Because for me, he has to go out. But overall, it's just a fair result. I think Tottenham deserved to win. I think it was quite unfair to see them losing the game and even drawing the game. So just football sometimes is only fair.
It's funny, isn't it, Stevie? People who didn't watch this game maybe think, what? You're 2-1 down in the 95th minute, you win, and that's a deserved victory?
Well, you know, it's really strange what can happen in a couple of minutes. And I'm sitting there and it's about the 94th minute and I'm actually sitting thinking, you know, normally we're talking about Spurs have just won a game because of Harry Kane. And in the 93rd, 94th minute, I'm sitting here thinking, Spurs have lost this game because of Harry Kane. Because Harry Kane could have had 4 goals in the first half. You know, Harry Kane last year, no question, was a world-class striker. And in this game, he's a 1-4 man. That is nowhere near where Harry Kane should be. Harry Kane, he scored today, and that is him just snuck into the top 20 goal scorers in the Premier League. He's in the, we're talking about Harry Kane being in the top, just in the top 20. So, listen, it's fantastic to get 2 late goals. And yes, Harry Kane played a great ball through for Bergwijn. But if Tottenham want to finish in the top four, or close to it, Harry Kane's going to have to get his shooting boots on. Because if he doesn't, then they're not going to be able to do this week in and week out and game in and game out. And Harry Kane is their goal scorer, and he has not been doing it. And when Yeonmin Son isn't playing, it's all down to Harry. So the top four or top five, whatever you think, is going to be down to whether Harry Kane can get his head back in gear and start putting the ball in the back of the net.
Stevie, by the way, gets paid a pound every time he says Harry Kane.
Just in case you were unsure.
Don, overall, that momentum, though, from this win is going to carry Spurs brilliantly forward, you would suggest, wouldn't you?
Ah, you would have thought so. I mean, they've got Chelsea up next. I mean, it sort of takes the pressure off, doesn't it? If they had a loss against Leicester tonight, that game against Chelsea would have been a must-win. Now they can sort of go into that game with a little bit of freedom, thinking, well, if we get a point, it's not the end of the world. I think Stevie's been a little bit harsh on Harry Kane. I look at the players that played behind him tonight. Harry Winks, Skip,
he's got six goals in the halfway point of the season. And Harry Kane's got six goals. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but Stevie, no, look at the players that played behind him tonight. Oliver Skip, Højbjerg, Winks. He can't do it on his own. He's going to need more creative than that. I mean, Lo Celso came on. Brian Hills came on over the last couple of games and showed a little bit more creativity and class. He can't do it on his own.
He had 10 chances. He had 10 shots during the game. And all the shots were on top, over the bar, you know. And I agree with Stevie. Last year, on those 10 shots, he would have scored 4 or 5 goals because that was another Harry Kane. He did well. He worked hard. And I agree with you. Maybe the players in the middle of the park are not the same or as good as they were before. But on his own, he had the chance to score more goals. And the Kane from last year used to do that.
More on Spurs' top four chances in a moment, but just a reminder, the latest edition of the Gavin & Jules podcast drops on Thursday. Be sure to check it out.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
A much-needed win for Manchester United as they beat Brentford by 3-1, but boy, were they made to work hard for it in the first half. Not exaggerating, they could have been 3 or 4 down. David De Gea making some excellent saves. They came out a much better side in the second half. Elanga making it 1-0. Greenwood then would double the visitors' lead. Cristiano Ronaldo taken off with 20 minutes to go. Not happy whatsoever. But despite the fact he wasn't on the pitch, Marcus Rashford would make it 3-0. A late goal for Tony, not enough. Just a consolation for Brentford as United take the win. I tell you what, Steve, it's kind of the epitome, isn't it, of a game of two halves?
Yeah, no question. Brentford outran, outfought, were just sharper, quicker. Unfortunately, they couldn't finish. And that's really the story of this game. It's about finishing. Two incredible saves from De Gea, who right now, in the polls, must be way ahead of anybody for Manchester United's man of the season. Now, that's not a good sign if you're trying to get in the top four. But the fact is, he's making saves and he continues to do that. And they continue to take chances that they make from not very much. Because that's what it was today. You know, you look at the scoreline and you think, oh, comfortable. It was anything but. They got the 3 points. But this game was about taking chances and Man United took theirs.
What changed in the second half for you, Don?
I think he must have given them a team talk at half-time, Dan. One or two things before the game, when you deliver that team talk, when you play Brentford at the community stadium, he must have done his homework and they've took points off so many teams, you know, like Liverpool, like Everton, like Arsenal, like Wolves, like Villa. And he must have said to his team, listen, this Brentford team are going to start fast. They're going to be in your faces. They're going to put corners in. They're going to put long throws in. They're going to put you under pressure. They're going to bombard you with all sorts. Now, be prepared. Now, either he didn't deliver that team talk before the game because he didn't do his homework, or he briefed these players and these players weren't aware and weren't ready for it. Because Thomas Frank, I think, used the expression after the game that his team smashed Man United. Those were his words. And he was absolutely right. You said a million chances in the first half, Dan. It was exactly that. David De Gea has pulled off more saves for Man United this season than any other goalkeeper in the Premier League. And somehow they're going at half-time 0-0. No idea how, because Brentford should have been 2 or 3-0 up. And he gives them a team talk and he sharpens them up. And they come out second half. I wouldn't even say they were world better. They were greatly better. I think they took their chances. They scored at the right time, but there was more snap about them. I think, obviously David De Gea was man of the match by a million miles, but the best player under Ranić so far in the 6 or 7 games he's been in charge has been Scott McTominay in the middle of the park. And I think his performance was sensational tonight.
Did you see an improvement from Manchester United today, Frank?
No, I didn't. And I completely agree with my two Scottish colleagues, you know. For an hour, they've been smashed by, like Thomas Frank said, you know, by Brentford. And it should have been only fair for Brentford to be leading the game, you know, half-time. What I liked about Rangnick, he learned his lesson, is when they scored a second goal, he put Ronaldo out and play at five at the back to make sure the opponent doesn't go back like Aston Villa did like a week ago, or even less than that. So that's the only improvement that I saw, that at 2-0, nobody came back and they scored a third one and they finished the game. But otherwise, no. As Don said, McTominay was one of the best players just after De Gea. But otherwise, no. He's still fragile at the back. I don't see the chemistry at front. I don't see Ronaldo happy. I don't even see Rashford coming on and being happy to be in there.
He scored a nice goal, Frank.
So many problems
he took his goal
to resolve.
I mean, all negative.
Yeah, but have you seen after? I love that player. I really love that player. I felt when he scored the goal that he couldn't care less, you know, and that he's not happy with the fact that he doesn't play, that he doesn't start. When I saw Elanga the first hour, I was wondering why Rashford wasn't playing. Well, he scored a goal. He had a fantastic goal. Well done. But that's it. But if you want to compare Elanga with Rashford, I'm sorry. There is no way that I'm going to put Rashford after Elanga. Rashford is much better right now than Elanga.
Inevitably, Ronaldo's strop is everywhere, especially Rangnick whispering in his ear. Is this a big deal, Stevie?
No, absolutely not. I think it would have been a bigger deal if Ronaldo was happy to go off. Listen, good players don't want to leave the field. I don't care whether it's 10-0 or whatever. They don't want to come off. He doesn't want to come off. He wants to play and he wants to score goals. So, not a shock. And, yeah, it's absolutely nothing.
What's the point? What's the point, though, Don, of having this strop? Your 36-year-old has achieved everything. Surely he's got to understand that he can't play every minute.
Do you want to play?
No. I get the question, Dan. I think that the flow of the game was that he got took off on about 70 minutes, so 20 minutes to go. The game was more or less done. Ronaldo's thinking, leave me on. I can score more goals. I can do more. I can do more. I want to do more. I want to get my numbers up. I get all of that. I'm with Stevie. I think Ranić leaning into his ear is more or less said to him, don't panic. We need you. We need your legs. You've only just come back from an injury. We've got West Ham coming up in a few days' time. We've got Burnley after that. We're going to need you for games going ahead. This one tonight is done. At 2-0, the game was finished. So we need you. Rest up and go again. Of course he's not going to be happy. No pros are when they come off on 70 because they want to score goals, especially someone like Ronaldo.
You don't need to have a strop that publicly, do you, Frank?
That's my concern, you know. It's like he needs to justify. Well, it's like Rangnick needed to justify because of Ronaldo behavior. You're 36, almost 37. Yeah, you're not happy, but you should know that every cameras in the world is gonna focus on what you're gonna do and how you're gonna behave. Do you think Manchester United need that on top of all the problems they have to resolve? You know, just get out. You know, you don't have to smile, but just get out. You're leading. And carry on like that. And just talk to the coach after if you need to.
What did he do that's so bad, by the way? Can somebody tell me?
He must have known, Stevie. He must have known.
He wasn't happy. Yeah.
Well, what's
he...
Hold on a second. What's he supposed to do? Like, you can't... it's one thing to say, he must know the cameras are going to be on him. Well, yeah, the cameras are going to be on him. But what did he do that was so bad? What did he do? It was so bad. He threw his kit. He threw his jacket down.
He was talking.
Shaking his head. He's having a little word to himself. Ah, oh, come on.
Stevie, the reason why is because we're talking about it. He said enough
for Rangnick to justify after the third goal to Ronaldo because he did enough to show his unhappiness. So he shouldn't do that. He doesn't need to do that. Everybody's going to know it, you know. So don't throw your jacket, you know, don't talk, don't move your head, you know, don't do that. To express to the world, I'm not happy. I want you to all know that I'm not happy and that Rangnick is a bad coach because he puts me out.
Rangnick explained it basically after the game because Ronaldo said, why me? And he said he learned his lesson after the Aston Villa 2-0 down. And of course, they came back to it 2-2. What he whispered is said, I understand you're ambitious, but maybe in a few years when you're a head coach, you will realise.
He's not going to be a head coach.
He's going to be player coach.
No.
He'll put himself in ahead of everybody else. And that's a part that I think that's a part that is unnecessary from Rangnick's part, is that why do you have to go and explain it to Ronaldo right then and there?
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You also know that the cameras are going to be on you and people are going to be paying attention to your interactions with Cristiano Ronaldo. If you have a conversation that you want to have with Cristiano Ronaldo, wait till the game is over. You guys go back down to the locker room and you express whatever feelings you want to express to Ronaldo. And that's it. And now we're not talking about it.
True.
Instead, now what you have is Ralph Rangnick almost apologizing, almost having to feel like he has to explain, almost having to say, hey, Cristiano, you're going to be okay? We're going to be okay after this. We're going to make it, aren't we? Yeah, all right. You're the manager. You make the decisions. If you want to give him an explanation, do so in the locker room.
So then, what a race it's going to be for a top four place with Spurs and United, of course, both winning today. Let's just take a look at how things stand. Spurs, 3 games in hand over West Ham, yet they're just 1 point behind. They're 2 games in hand, by the way, on Manchester United, who are just 1 point off Spurs. Arsenal, of course, didn't play. They currently sit 6th on 35 points. The bookies have Spurs as the favourites to finish 4th. Don.
Oh, my days. I think when you look at that, you try and figure out which one's the best team that's going to finish in there. And they all offer something different. Arsenal, I think, have got the best crop of young players. Tottenham have got the best manager. West Ham have probably got the best team spirit. And Man United are full of Galacticos. I've got no idea. I would lean towards
what
Arsenal.
What Galacticos
to be
have United got, Don? What's your translation of Galacticos?
when you stick them all down on paper, it's not a bad team, is it?
Yes, it is a bad team. That's what we've been talking about for a long time.
What galaxy are they from?
Come on. You've got De Gea. You've got
people
like Bruno Fernandes. You've got Ronaldo. You've got Greenwood. You've got Rashford. You've got Jadon Sancho. The list goes on and on and on.
It's a terrible list.
I would lean towards Arsenal. I don't see Spurs having enough craft, but I could be wrong.
So Arsenal, that's what your money's on, Stevie?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to go with Tottenham. If Tottenham's number 9, not quite sure his name again, I've forgotten it. If he can get his acting gear, the way that Conte's got to rocket up the rest of them, then I can see Spurs doing it. I'm not so sure Arsenal can continue what they're doing. Manchester United have been horrible, and they were horrible again today. So I'm going to go with Spurs.
Who are you going for, Frank?
I think I would go for Spurs, but I will wait until the game they play against Chelsea. They already lost in the League Cup, in Carabao Cup, against Chelsea. I want to see how they react, and if they're able to win or draw against Chelsea, which I think is going to be, which is going to finish 3rd this season, maybe they can hope for something bigger. If they lose against Chelsea, they might realize that they're not a very, very good team. They're just a good team. So it can change the gear and their hopes for the future. But otherwise, I'm with Stevie. Yeah. If they have a good result against Chelsea, I see Spurs.
Two votes for Spurs, one Arsenal. Where are you going, Ali?
Well, I'm not going with Don's Galacticos.
Oh, this is,
this I is, didn't say.
I tell you what, this is the first and last time, I think Scott McTominay has been really good for Manchester United. This is the first and last time that he'll be ever in the same conversation as Zidane, yeah. Figo, Ronaldo. Original Ronaldo, by the way. I mean, honestly, there are no Galacticos in Manchester United. Let's get that out there.
Okay.
Spurs. I'm going to go with Spurs and Harry Kane scoring goals.
Don and Stevie with us for extra time. Ali as well. You can, as always, goodness, look
boy.
At that pair.
Whoa.
You can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Sevilla missed the opportunity to close the gap on Real Madrid to 2 points at the top of the table as they could only manage a 1-1 draw away against Valencia at Mestalla. They would take the lead early on thanks to an own goal, but late on in the first half, Guedes with the equaliser would see Valencia take a point. Let's welcome in, shall we, Luis Garcia to the show. Luis, if I'm a Sevilla fan, I am so frustrated with what I saw, particularly in that second half, because we're talking about them as title contenders. And everyone, of course, they are closest to Real Madrid than any other side in La Liga. But where was that hunger, where was that spark that you kind of need for this fight?
Definitely it's not something that Sevilla has got on their DNA. You can see that they can have the possession, that they can create sometimes chances, but they don't have players who can end these chances or these opportunities in goals. And I think that Ali predicted very well in the beginning of the show, just before the game. This Sevilla, it will be the day that they won't be the things on their side, that they won't end the chances, that they won't have a penalty on their side, that they might not be enough. Just with the possession, and today it was a day. It was not enough in the second half. Even though the Tecatito arrived in the second half, creating a very good chance, that probably was the only one. But we didn't see much of Ocampos, we didn't see much of Rafa Mir, and at the end, they need these players. So this Sevilla is missing so much the creative players. El Nesiri, Suso, Lamela, players who can score goals up front. And today, once again, Sevilla had the ball during the many times, went from one side, the other side, but at the end, no chances, no goals, and it wasn't enough to get the 3 points.
No, not enough, not deserved, and it's a bad week for Sevilla. Out in Copa del Rey, dropping points here as well. And I know it's Valencia, and I know it's at Mestalla, but you've got to expect more from a side sitting second in La Liga with still something to play for.
And as you're preparing for this game, you know very well, given who's managing the other team and the characteristics of what Valencia are as a group, that Valencia are going to want this game to be physical, to be about pushing and shoving and huffing and puffing and challenges. And it's all going to be about second balls. And the more you fall into that trap, the more comfortable Valencia feels. So Sevilla, as you come into this match, you know this is how it's going to be. So then you're going to have to provide the quality. You're going to have to be the one that gets the ball moving, that gets out in transition, that breaks through lines of pressure, so that then you can find Lucas Ocampo, so that then you can find Rafa Mir in the attack, or perhaps you get somebody from the left-hand side, Papu Gomez. That's where the creativity has to come from. But instead of looking for those moments of transition, instead of looking to break through those lines of pressure, in the second half, Sevilla said, you know what we're going to do? It's a great plan. It's a real, real clever plan. We're going to fight with Valencia. We're going to push. We're going to shove. We're going to foul. We're going to look for second balls. And Valencia's like, okay, this is home for us. This is where we're most comfortable. So 1-1 is not a surprise. It was really, really tough for Sevilla to generate any sort of quality possession in the attacking half. And when you have that sort of problem, certainly they did in the second half, then you're not going to create chances. You don't create enough chances, you don't have enough quality in the attack. 1-1, and you miss out on an opportunity to put some pressure on Real Madrid.
Yeah, Real Madrid will be absolutely delighted, won't they, Luis?
Definitely, of course. There is the only team who can maybe challenge for the La Liga trophy is Sevilla. And they've been waiting for an opportunity like this one, that Sevilla doesn't do the enough things to get to keep on the pace. And today, definitely was a good Valencia side. I'm not going to take any credit from them because they worked so hard. They were well organized and they didn't give any inch for the players to turn around and create something. But definitely this Sevilla, if they want a challenge for La Liga, they need to provide more things.
Maybe they need new personnel. We've discussed the possibility of Martial coming in on loan from Manchester United. And when we talked about it, Luis, you weren't a particular fan of this idea. They need someone, though, up top, don't they?
No, definitely. After seeing, maybe I'm changing my mind. Maybe I'll sign it myself to bring it to Sevilla to challenge Real Madrid, to be honest. But Isu is not that kind of player who maybe is going to create something as a center forward, because as I mentioned before, Tecatito is a player who can do that. Ocampos is a player who can do that. They need a center forward, a player who can score goals, who can give this Sevilla the opportunity to score 10, 12 goals until the end of the season. And I think that Martial is going to provide things, because he's a player who, when he's got the ball, he's got that spark who can create something. But he's not a finisher. He's not a center forward player who's going to score that many goals. So we'll see what happens. But I think the Sevilla is missing so much in the city.
Luis Garcia, as always, thank you very much. What a double header we have for you tomorrow here on Plus. Elche taking on Real Madrid, followed by Athletic Club against Barcelona. Of course, both of these round of 16 Copa del Rey ties, they will be played to a finish tomorrow. Meanwhile, Atletico Madrid out of the Copa del Rey after Real Sociedad beat them by 2-0. I tell you what, Diego Simeone's side, their season just goes from bad to worse. Out of the Copa del Rey now, out of the title race. Uh-huh. It's all about Manchester United, I suppose, in the Champions League. No one really saw this coming, did we?
No, and not in the manner in which it's happening, which is you're watching a team in Atletico Madrid that is lacking toughness. The one thing that you knew you were going to get out of Atletico Madrid under Diego Simeone was toughness, and you're not getting that. You're seeing a team that is giving games away, that is losing games on set pieces, that is losing games on headers inside their own six-yard box. Those things did not used to happen for Atletico Madrid. And oh, by the way, they're struggling to create chances in the attacking half. So no surprise that they're struggling. The manner in which they're struggling, that's the part that we don't quite understand, because toughness has always been a main part of the game, and it's not happening right now.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Inter left it late, didn't they? In fact, extra time to book a place in the quarterfinals. They'll face Roma or Lecce as the rest is set then for the last eight in Italy. Meanwhile, we're also at the same stage in Germany. Four representatives from the top tier, four from the second tier for the quarterfinal draw that will be made on Sunday. Meanwhile, internationally, of course, it's all about the Africa Cup of Nations at the moment. In Group D, Nigeria, absolutely perfect. A 2-0 victory over Guinea-Bissau made it 3 wins out of 3. Meanwhile, Egypt finished second, beating Sudan, who are out along with Guinea-Bissau. That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everybody who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned, though. I'm just going to find the questions. Here they are. Extra Time is next. Stevie and Don back with us. Ali, of course, staying with us as well to answer your questions. Welcome into the latest edition then of Extra Time. Ali with me in the studio, Stevie as well from his house, and we learnt as well this is Don's bedroom.
Oh.
He's a closet Leicester City fan and has got wall-to-wall wallpaper of them celebrating that surprise Premier League title. How are you, Don? You alright? You look a bit tired. Busy day.
I've just done sort of the first half of the Leicester Spurs game and then the full Man United game, so shattered, but really
enjoyable. But just confirm you didn't play.
I didn't play.
Right.
Just still concentrated on the games.
mentally tired.
Can I ask a question?
I was commentating on Man United's Galacticos, Dan.
Yes, of course. That was during the show. You described them as a team of Galacticos.
Why is Don doing just one half of a game? What happened to the second half?
Oh, yeah. Who took over the second half, Don? Yeah.
No. It was a bit weird. It was like we'd done the first half of the Leicester game. Well, the first 30 minutes of the Leicester game, because I kicked off half an hour earlier than the Man United game. And then we went straight into the full Man United game. So commentated on a game and a half.
Oh, wow.
Well, see, you know that math is a problem for Don, right? 30 minutes, it's not a half. In the beautiful game
you
that
know,
we covered.
You know.
Hey, he's invoicing for a half, don't
yeah,
you worry.
Yeah, that's
going
in.
That's going in.
That's it.
And how are you, Stevie? Are you mentally tired? Are you okay?
Oh, I'm exhausted. Had to sit on the couch and watch both games.
What a tough life. Stevie, how much credit does Conte deserve for the end of the Spurs match? Hard to believe they would have fought like that under the last couple of managers.
Oh, 100%, yeah. No, he no question has put a rocket up everybody. Everybody at Spurs, whether it's during the game or whether it's training or walking around, they're looking behind them to see if he's there checking on them. I mean, it's so clear that, listen, technically I think they need better players, but for commitment and desire and all of those things that we associate with Conte, he 100% has passed that on to them. And I guess the last couple of minutes with Bergwijn, you saw the difference when a side keeps looking behind their back to make sure that the gaffer's not there, because they know that he'll be on them.
His reaction was great, wasn't it, when he scored, Don?
Oh, it was amazing. It's brilliant. It's always nice, Dan. It's always, you know, when you get a last-minute winner, last-second winner, the subs are off the bench, the technical staff, everyone's on the manager, fans are going crazy, the final whistle goes, you know, the Tottenham players went across to the Tottenham fans, which is amazing. And then that goes into the dressing room. The music would have been on, they would have looked at the league table, and they would have thought, after that victory, we can do this.
For Stevie, as a manager, what do you say to your... Oh, go on, who's talking? Stevie?
No, I'm just saying, I think you got to look at Sancho, and I think you need to thank Sancho for winding Bergwijn up as well, because he had a go at him. When he went down for the penalty,
right,
it was still 2-1. They wound Bergwijn up, and I think you saw as much of that as you did joy. There was a lot of you-know-what behind it.
Oh, wow. And you-know-what.
Okay. Fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Wow. Ooh. The drama.
For Stevie, as a manager, what do you say to your team when they blow a lead like Leicester just did? A little bit you-know-what.
I don't think you see anything today. I think you wait. You wait, because when things like that happen, you're angry and you're tense and you want to blow, but sometimes that's the last time you want to do it. You're better off when you calm down a little bit. Think about things rationally. If somebody needs pulled out or picked out, then you do it in the cold light of day. You don't do it straight after the game, in my opinion. And so it's a delicate one for Rodgers, because this team's fragile. Mm. They've been used to throwing goals away this season, so this is nothing new for them. So he has to be very careful whether he knocks even more stuffing out of them, or how he can figure out how to try and calm them down and get them lifted again.
Don, in the short term, what can Manchester United fix to finish at least fourth? Watching them against Brentford today, the first half was very wasteful.
Wow. I mean, it's a long list, isn't it? I mean, they've got to make sure they match the effort and the fight and the intensity of teams like Brentford, because if they don't, you know, on normal circumstances, when you watch that game back again, I mean, how Brentford weren't 2, 3, 4 maybe up at half-time, I'll never know. So they're right in the look. At the same time, he's only lost one game. So it doesn't sort of feel like it's all bad. It just feels as though they've got to get a run together to convince anyone they're going to get top four. It's on because there's four teams going for it and there's one spot and no one really's got brilliant momentum. And teams have got games in hand. So to answer the question, I think get everyone together. I look at Man United and their team of individuals. I said before, loosely Galacticos, but somehow he's going to get them all together and say, come on, because that's what Tottenham have got.
That was loose, all right.
It was.
That was about as loose as my old pants after me losing £10.
Okay.
No one needs that image.
Come on.
Oh, dear me. I can see them for some reason as well.
What? Yeah.
Stevie's old
£10 pants coming up.
Stevie's old pants.
Oh, white.
Well, they were bought white, Don.
Yeah, exactly.
Have the guys, Ali, have you ever seen a team take an instant downfall like Atleti, going from title winners to out of most competitions and fighting for the top four?
It is surprising to see from a team whose strength is and has been personality.
Yep.
Character. The group effort, the group dynamic, and we're going to do this together, and it's not happening. And the more that Simeone yells, the less it happens for them. It is now more about managing, in terms of whatever Diego Simeone does with this group, than it has ever been in the past, because now the yelling is not working. The going back and forth, all of that intensity is not working. Mm. Now it's about, how do we get this group of players to actually perform at the level that they should be performing? And a team that depends on their edge, on that intensity, on that urgency, you lose it when you win.
Yeah.
And they reach what they wanted to reach last season. They won, and now it's like, well, we don't quite know what the objective is anymore. And you lose a little bit of extra that has been key to their success.
How difficult is it for a player to play in a different position than he preferred one during the same season? And did any of the panel experts ever thought about or actually change their position just to get in the starting 11? Don, should we say some nice things about Stevie? Because what people maybe don't know is how versatile a player he was when he played. There aren't many around like that.
No, you're right, but it's not hard, you know, Dan. Football's not hard.
All right.
You know, I'd done it. Stevie done it. Ali done it, I would imagine. Or Ali played in the 18-yard box. But Stevie played as a right back, as a central midfield player. I'm sure you could have played centre-half. If you've got half a football brain, you can do it. You know, I got signed for Liverpool as a centre-half. They realised I was no good there, so I moved into midfield. Then at other clubs, I played as a right winger. Then when I went to Everton, I played as a number 10. So as long as you can find your way around the pitch and you've got good vision and a bit of a football brain, it's not that hard.
Stevie, Don's saying pretty much anyone could have done what you did at Liverpool.
I didn't mean it like that.
I thought the funniest bit was when he said he could probably have played centre-half. That was the funniest one.
I want
the sports writers playing in a year playing centre-half.
Stevie, it's not that hard though, is it?
Oh, Stevie always mentioned he was player of the year. So why don't more people do it then, if it's not that hard?
Because a lot of modern day players, you know, you say to a player these days, what position do you play in? And they go, ooh, I'm a defensive midfield player. Ooh, I'm a number 10.
Why do they make that noise?
I'll be like, boss, I'll play anywhere you want me to play. Anywhere, and I'll figure it out.
Stevie.
Having said that, Graham Souness, I might have told you this story. Graham Souness was desperate to get me in Liverpool's 11 because he liked me, had something about me. The older players were sort of on the way out slightly. And he said to me, I don't see you as being a central midfield player when you do too much running for a central midfield player. You're always emptying your positions and you want to get forward and you're doing 13K every day. You don't know when to stand still. He went, I fancy you as a right back. And he went, you like a tackle. You can pick a pass. You'll get stuck into someone. You're a bit fiery. He went, I'll play you against Notts Forest in the reserves this week. If you play well, I'll play you for Liverpool's first team. Well, Stevie will remember this name. I played up against a guy called Franz Carr.
And meow.
Meow. Meow. Unfortunately. Hey, tore me to shreds.
Well, good thing. The good thing is that Franz, you can open the actual. See the door behind the stand. If the door was open, he'd still be running through it. So fortunately,
he tore me to shreds.
Speed was his main characteristic.
Ah.
So that completely squashes your whole point, doesn't it, Don?
Well, no, I was 18 at the time. I didn't know the game. Like now, if you say to me at 30, right, Don, you're going to play right back, and I play up against Franz Carr, what I do is I send him inside into traffic, and I let the midfield players deal with it. And so once you get your way around the pitch, you can figure some problems.
So you're responsible for them signing Trigger. Has he ever thanked you, Don?
No, never done it.
That is
which Trigger you're talking about?
That's Rob
Jason
Jones,
or Rob Jones?
Is that Rob Jones?
Well, there's two of them.
No, Rob. No, the original.
Go on, Ali. Yeah.
Well, if you I don't know if you noticed, but the description that Don utilized of Grant Souness talking about Don Hutchinson as a potential right back, I thought he was talking about Cafu.
This is Don's recollection.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
Oh, you can get up
that's
and down.
Memory.
You like a tackle, but you can go on the attack as well. You'll defend some, but you also provide us some service. My goodness. I would have played right back too if I had been done.
See?
Yes.
That's what Graham Souness done for you, Ali.
What are managers, Stevie, always shouting on about on the sidelines? Can the players really hear them? Do they listen?
Oh, I'm sorry. I've no idea. I mean, seriously, sit down and shut up. I mean, you know, the one thing you can guarantee is if you just constantly rabbiting on, nobody listens to you. So when it comes, when there actually is something really important that they need to take in, they don't listen. Because all you've done from the first whistle to the last is just make a noise. It just becomes white noise. I really don't get it. I'm sorry.
I've seen one last year when Graham Jones was in charge of Newcastle, and it was absolutely brilliant. And he didn't know that the cameras were on him, so he's having a real go at his players, and he was having a go, and he was having a go. Then all of a sudden, he realised, because he looked to the right hand side, there was a massive screen in the Gallagher end, and he realised he was on the telly, and he went, Pass the ball, and just make sure we pass the ball. And he knew, and everyone knew that he was live on TV. Priceless.
Don, did you listen to any managers? Did they ever say anything insightful when you were playing?
Well, yeah, they can give you pointers to get tight to someone, stop someone from playing, or run off him, or try and do this. Like Ali said, I was a cross between Cafu and Pirlo and all these legendary players. It was
Pirlo.
In my locker, so.
Pirlo.
All right, Pirlo. Sound like a scouser when you say it. Pirlo.
I'm sorry for saying his name properly.
Pirlo.
Ali? Score! Score a
no,
goal!
I've always thought the story is when Stevie's yelling at when he was a manager,
yes.
And I was out in the field, and he's yelling at me, and all I see is he's... You know, the glasses and the teeth, and I thought, my God, is he smiling at me? Why would the other manager be smiling at me? Because I couldn't possibly understand what he was saying, but there you go. Apparently he wasn't being that positive.
I love it. Stevie, what's for dinner tonight?
There we go.
Ground beef, of course, Stevie's go-to. That leads us to the final question. For Don and Ali, Stevie has shepherd's pie. What is your go-to food, Don?
What? As in what I prefer or just that gets knocked up all the time?
What you prefer. Like your kind of Green Mile menu.
Steak. Stay. I would go 1980s prawn cocktail for start.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and then a nice, well done steak.
Oh,
with some onions on the top, a little bit of peppercorn sauce. Some green beans,
fried egg,
little bit of veg.
Fried egg?
No, not a fried egg, Stevie. No. Too wet.
Our producer was in California and he drove 3 hours to go to a specific steakhouse. Yeah. Would you do that?
No.
No. Mm-hmm. Stevie, would you travel 3 hours
stupid.
For the
ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Stupid. Who was it? Was it Mike?
No, it was Pete.
Ah, ridiculous.
But hey, 3 hours there, 3 hours back.
Yeah, exactly.
No, he was. Hey, no. Pete was trying to get away from something or somebody.
Do you think
that's
so?
What that was.
6 hours for a steak.
Right.
My go to, my mom is in town.
Right.
My parents are in town.
Yeah.
When my mom is in town, beef stroganoff.
Right.
On a base of white rice with cream of mushroom, stir fried sirloin.
Nice.
Oh, I love you, Mom.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, I'm coming home tonight, Mom.
Yep.
I'm just saying.
Yep, she's definitely not watching.
Oh. I thought she was our number one fan.
That sounds good.
That is it, guys. Thank you very much.
Mommy!
Just a reminder, ESPN SC back on your screens tomorrow. Lots going on ESPN Plus. Obviously, you've got Arsenal against Liverpool. You've got Elche against Real Madrid. And Athletic Club against Barcelona in the Copa del Rey.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.